Well, there have been some truly awful number ones. I could offer the Birdie Song. I could offer the Teletubbies. I could offer St. Winifred's Girls' Choir. Grandma, we love you. Grandma, we do. And Mr. Blobby. And of course, Agadoo. Push those pineapples and everything. Well, now I don't know what you expect from a number one record, but probably you expect people to sing on the record. Well, back in 1975, a man called Telly Savalas went for a different approach to his record. Now, Telly, whose real name was Aristotelis, was on our TV screens playing a detective called Kojak. Now, Telly, he went for a different approach. He felt that reciting the lyrics with his deepest, most sincere and meaningful voice would be better. I give you If. A truly awful number one record. How anyone got away with it, I don't know, but there you go. People bought it. And it seems appropriate that a man who was named after a famous philosopher should help us to think a bit more about wisdom. It was Aristotle who wrote, "Knowing yourself is the beginning of wisdom." And yet, at the same time, I can't help but wonder just how wise a person can be to buy that record. There are some other very famous bits of creativity that have been called If. And perhaps one of the most famous ones is the poem by Rudyard Kipling.
If you want to force your heart.
fine words may be, but really that's all about self-reliance, about doing things for yourself, by yourself. God doesn't come into the equation. If, when you think about it, is a powerful word. It's a word that we come across all too much when we grow up. Ian, if you don't eat your Brussels, you won't get any pudding. Ian, if you don't finish your homework, you won't be watching any telly. That's television, not Telly Savalas, the so-called actor. If has a great many applications. They may involve blessings, punishments, or opportunities. If you take this medicine, it should relieve your symptoms. If you don't exercise, you will become unhealthy. If you work hard, you will get a better job. On and on go the ifs. And so why is it that if is so well understood in most areas of life, but perhaps not so much in religion? If, as you know from your English lessons, is a subordinating conjunction. It is a conditional particle. It does not stand alone. As one writer puts it, if is the little big word. Little in that it's only two letters in length, big in its importance. It can make the difference between truth and error, obeying God and disobeying God, being saved and being lost. It is a word that calls into question everything that comes after it or what is before it. The Bible is full of ifs. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. 2 Timothy. Our salvation is conditional. To be saved, we must believe in Jesus. And so here too, in Proverbs chapter 2 on page 636, we have a few more ifs. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Each one of us comes to a turning point in our lives where we have to decide the rule for our lives. Is it going to be God's unchanging, perfect words and commands that we can see as being good and true and right? Or are we going to choose our own feelings and desires and what the world says is best? God's word offers us a firm foundation for our lives, a foundation that won't let us down. So these verses remind us that to get wisdom, we need to hear it with our ears and accept it with our hearts and agree to it with our lives. We need to open ourselves up and let God's words sink deep into who we are. So we can achieve wisdom by believing in God's word, by memorizing God's word, by accepting God's word, and by asking God for wisdom through prayer. God is the source of wisdom, verse 6. He gives it out. It comes from his mouth, and with it comes knowledge and understanding, we're told. There is no sense just to have knowledge if there is not also understanding. The godly application of knowledge is wisdom. A person can have much knowledge, but no common sense. It's possible for someone to be an educated fool. There are many educated people who speak foolishness. Therefore, we need to be careful about who we listen to and who we follow. It is God who gives wisdom. And verse 7 goes on to remind us that God has promised to be a shield, a guard, and he will protect our way if we walk in the paths of justice and righteousness. And then, verse 9, we will have understanding of righteousness, fairness and justice. We will know the right path. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Matthew 7. Wisdom is a gift of God, but it takes effort to find it. And verse 10 goes on to explain how deep wisdom needs to go. It needs to enter the heart. Head knowledge can be of some use, but God desires that we have a love for wisdom. And then in verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways. Matthew Henry, the famous commentator, has said, "When wisdom has dominion over us, then it not only fills the head, but enters into the heart, and will preserve both against corruptions within and temptations without. The ways of sin are ways of darkness, uncomfortable and unsafe. What fools are those who leave the plain, pleasant, lightsome paths of uprightness to walk in such ways." But if we have wisdom, verse 20, we will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. To walk outside the light of God's word is to walk in darkness. And verses 13 to 18 remind us of the temptations that we can face. The Life Application Bible Study says, put it like this: two of the most difficult sins to resist are pride and sexual immorality. Both are seductive. Pride says, "I deserve it." Sexual desire says, "I need it." In combination, their appeal is deadly. Pride appeals to the empty head, sexual enticement to the empty heart. By looking to God, we can fill our heads with his wisdom and our hearts with his love. Let us remember what God says about who we are and what we are meant to be. Let us ask him for strength to resist these temptations. And so, thinking about not walking, not in dark ways, but walking in the light, takes us to another passage in the Bible with a lot of ifs in it as well. It's 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. And in that passage, we find different ifs. There's the insightful if. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. Sin can cause disagreement. Sin stops us from being open and honest with one another. But Jesus has saved us from the darkness of sin, and the Holy Spirit shines a light on the things that we do wrong. Then there's the irresponsible if. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. It's so difficult to live in the world and in Christ at the same time. We try to have both, to live both ways, but we can't be pleasing to God when we do this. Then we have the inveigling if, all about deception and flattery. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And we deceive ourselves when we believe truth is not absolute and attainable, or when we try to change God's laws to fit our situation. We all sin, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will keep seeking forgiveness, and gradually we will keep to the paths of the righteous. Then we have the intimate if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confess means to admit, to own up to. If we refuse to admit or confess our sins, then God cannot forgive us. If we are to walk in the light, we must keep on confessing when we sin, so that he can continually cleanse us. We must confess our sins to receive that continual blessing. And finally, there's the insulting if. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 10. God's word is truth, and every word of it is truth. If we say we are without sin, we are sinning by lying to ourselves and to other people. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. God doesn't want us to be uncertain and miserable or wavering in faith. He sets out very clearly for us what should happen when we fall into sin. If we are genuinely sorry, our hearts and minds will be flooded with forgiveness and love from our Father in heaven. Another writer has put it, there is a contentment, a wonderful peace that flows through the soul when the window is opened to heaven, with heavenly light entering and not blocked by a sin in a believer's heart. If is one of the most important words in the Bible because it speaks directly to our responsibility to God. Most promises in the Bible have conditions, and the word if points out what those conditions are. Our responses to God's commands affect our relationship with him. and will affect what we can receive from him. Famous Christian author Corrie ten Boom wrote, There are no ifs in God's kingdom. His timing is perfect. His will is our hiding place. Lord Jesus, keep me in your will. Don't let me go mad by poking around outside it. So may it be that in Christ, God will not have to keep on saying if to us, but rather, through our obedience, he can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Father, we thank you that when we read your Bible, there are so many warnings. And Lord, help us to heed those warnings. Help us to learn. Help us to change. Help us to become more like you through the work of the Holy Spirit. So God, when we see those ifs, help us to listen and help us to respond by doing the right thing. In Jesus' name. Amen.